and aggression. As we know, he underwent a dramatic conversion to Christianity, which changed his whole attitude to life. The Church recognizes the conversion of Paul each year on the 25th of January, which accounts for the fact that Christian Unity Week is observed each year at this cold and dark month, and not, as we might think more sensibly, at the height of summer. As those baptized into the Christian faith, who share that faith this morning through the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are entrusted, to quote St. Paul again, with the ministry of reconciliation. Many years ago, when I was a student at Trinity College in Dublin, I passed a statue on my way to history lectures of William Lecky, a well-known 19th century historian who wrote critically, "If the mark of a healthy Christianity is to unite people by a bond of fraternity and love, there is no country in the world in which Christianity has more completely failed than in Ireland." Now, I believe that we've made some progress since the mid-19th century. The so-called island of saints and scholars may have fared better than Lecky suggested, but there's no doubt that we have frequently debased our Christianity with intolerance and with politics. Shortly before I retired from full-time ministry, almost 12 years ago, I attended portion of a conference at the Corrymeela Centre near Ballycastle. I know the area well. We have a mobile home at Maguire Strand, 2 minutes' walk from Corrymeela, where we spend as much time as possible during the summer months. Corrymeela was founded over 60 years ago. One of the driving forces was its first director, the Reverend Ray Davey, a Presbyterian minister who served in the Second World War and witnessed the terrible destructive results of conflict, where nations were torn apart and individuals destroyed physically. While it may seem by some to be merely a drop in the ocean, Corrymeela has worked in attempting to break down the barriers of suspicion between individuals and communities. In addition, it has been a refuge centre for those whose lives have been damaged by domestic violence and by other social ills. My purpose on that occasion and on other times when I've met people from across what we call the religious and social divide was to attempt to understand more clearly what accounts for human and community differences. Sometimes when I've listened and communicated with others, I've been perplexed, I've been disappointed, I've even been mildly depressed at the refusal of individuals and church groups to engage in dialogue or to participate in any form of worship with others. In saying that, I must be careful not to appear to be claiming the moral high ground or to sound self-righteous. I haven't forgotten the time, and it wasn't to my credit, when I stood up at a meeting in a community hall in my former parish and suggested to representatives of some church groups who would not associate with one particular denomination because of what they called theological difficulties, that they spent far too much time rearranging their prejudices. Now, that comment was made some weeks after the signing of the Good Friday Belfast Agreement, when politicians who had reason to distrust and dislike one another were prepared to sit down together and find a way out of our perpetual cycle of violence. Not surprisingly, while I was expressing frustration, my outburst at that meeting wasn't helpful. I know that the term Christian unity might suggest compromise and surrender. Maybe the term is misleading to some, because for me and for many here, I hope, this week of prayer for Christian unity was designed as much to encourage us to understand differences rather than to necessarily take those differences on board. It is important, I maintain, that there is a unity of purpose amongst Christians in attempting to understand one another through dialogue and, if possible, through worship, rather than what I call an enforced uniformity. I know that we could cite instances from the past for justifying reasons why we wouldn't wish to acknowledge the validity of another Christian tradition. I acknowledge that the Church of Ireland has been anything but squeaky clean when it comes to examining our track record in the field of reconciliation. Too often, we have engaged in a delicate balancing act of what I'll call sitting on the fence. Don't rock the boat even gently in case it causes an unexpected ripple across the calm waters. However, I accept that digging up the past simply bogs us down in a spiritual mire and prevents us from moving on. If the prayer of Christ, that they may be one, doesn't fill us with any conviction, then surely the state of the world should stir us to renewed commitment to each other for the sake of the world and its unsatisfied longing for peace. One courageous man who championed the cause of Christian cooperation and mutual respect throughout a long life concluded with regret that if we are unwilling to take seriously the prayer of Christ, then, and I quote him, "Let us declare the death of faith and arrange for the burial of the corpse we call the church." Many in today's secular society who are dismissive of the Christian faith and what it represents would be delighted if we did so. But we must not allow our thinking to go that far. Mahatma Gandhi, not himself a Christian, described Christians as ordinary people doing extraordinary things. We need to show within our parishes and amongst Christians of all traditions the reality of those complimentary words of Gandhi, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. William Wilberforce, who played a major role in contributing to the abolition of slave trade 200 years ago, stated that my only hope for the well-being of my country clings to the knowledge that it contains people who love and obey and practice in the community the reconciling spirit of Christ. I accept the assertion that we must keep our hopes for Christian unity in our hearts, that we must keep our prayers for it on our lips, that we must keep our ideas about it moderate and sensible, and above all, we must be ready to accept the measure of unity which God sees fit to give his church. Maybe you've heard the old maxim that in necessary things, unity, in doubtful things, liberty, in all things, charity. Those three words, unity, liberty, charity, are important if we are to discover and rediscover the church as a truly reconciling instrument. Because quite frankly, if we're unable to show and practice those things, then we might be justified in bringing into the question the whole validity of the corporate body we call the church. The road to unity is a common obedience to God's laws, a common love for Jesus Christ, and a common will to serve him. If we give God his place as our guide, then while we may not have organic or visible church unity, the prayer of Christ that all who believe in him may be one will be no empty vision. Indeed, we could, with some justification, quote words from the Psalms, changing a sentence ever so slightly, and stating that we are built as a city that is at unity in itself. And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed and is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you promise through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Moore. Bless David, our bishop, John, our archbishop, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader, and build us up in faith and love. During this week of prayer for Christian unity, we pray for our united Belmont ecumenical service this evening at St. Comkill's Church. We give thanks for the privilege and the opportunity of being able to come together as a community, as one, to worship you, O Lord. We pray that the ecumenical service will offer strength and encouragement to sustain all of us as we endeavour to serve you, O Lord, faithfully in both word and deed. We pray for Michael Armstrong, the group from Methodist College in Belfast and St. Patrick's Maharaj, who are in Romania this week. We ask your blessing upon them and upon the staff members who are accompanying them, and for the work that they're going to be doing starting this morning to offer support and assistance to those in great need. Watch over them, O Lord. Protect them and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favor on the worlds you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. And bless Charles, our king, and all in authority. We pray for a cessation of the war in Ukraine. We pray for the president of Ukraine, giving thanks for his resilience and his strong leadership at this very difficult time for him and his people. We pray for all those who have been injured, those who are bereaved, those who have fled their country. We pray for a cessation of that war and for peace and justice once more to be restored. We pray for those who administer law and order in this, our province of Northern Ireland. We pray for the PSNI, the emergency services, and those who work in our courts. And we pray